From Spark and Anvil and Cosmos Forge, this is Relic, in Chapter 1 of the Cosmos Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The deepest room in the Cosmos Forge Observatory had no telescope, and it did not even have windows to let in the starlight. Instead, the stone chamber held a thick, heavy quiet that felt almost like a physical weight. Down in the dark, Relic looked like a soft, pearlescent cloud that had settled comfortably on the cold floor. The creature was barely brighter than a bedroom nightlight, glowing with a patient, pale amber that did not reach the corners of the room. In two curved arms, Relic cradled a gentle, ancient warmth that felt like the very last embers of a campfire. A young stargazer named Maeve crept down the spiral stairs, her heavy boots clicking rhythmically against the cold iron steps. She was 12 years old, and her pockets were always stuffed with polished lens cloths and brass gears. At the doorway, she stopped, squinting into the dimness until her eyes adjusted to the faint light. "Are you awake?" Maeve whispered, taking a cautious step onto the smooth stone floor. Relic did not move, but the soft glow around the creature pulsed once, like a slow and sleepy heartbeat. "I am always awake," Relic said, speaking in a low, dry voice that sounded like wind blowing over desert sand. "The oldest things in the sky do not need sleep." Maeve sat on a wooden stool near the doorway, her eyes fixed on the shapeless warmth in Relic's arms. "The others are upstairs watching a supernova," she said, pointing a finger toward the high stone ceiling. "It's really bright, and you can see the blue gas through the big brass telescope." "Supernovas are very loud," Relic said softly, shifting the ancient warmth. "Don't you want to see it?" Relic smiled, though the creature had no real face, just a gentle, warm shifting of the pearlescent light. "I have seen the beginning of everything," Relic said. "After that, supernovas are just small, brief sparks."
Maeve tilted her head, her dark braid swinging over her shoulder as she thought about this. "What do you mean, the beginning?" "I hold the oldest light in the whole universe," Relic said, holding the warmth a little higher. "It does not come from a star. It comes from before the stars, from when everything that exists was small and new and impossibly hot." May frowned, trying to picture a world without any stars at all. "But you need a fire to make light. My science teacher said so." "There was a fire," Relic said gently. "The whole universe was the fire. It was so hot and crowded that light could not even travel freely because it kept bumping into things." Relic shifted, lifting the cradled warmth just an inch. Then everything spread out. The universe cooled just enough, and all at once, the dark became clear. "Like fog clearing up?" Maeve asked. "Exactly like that," Relic said. "The light was suddenly set free, flying in every direction at the same moment. That freed glow is called relic radiation." "So where did it go?" Maeve asked, leaning forward on her stool. "It is still going," Relic said. "It has been flying for almost 14 billion years, stretched out and faded by all that traveling." Maeve looked around the dark room, squinting at the empty corners. "If it's everywhere, why can't I see it?" "Because your eyes only see the bright young things," Relic explained. "This light is cold now, so cold that it has turned into invisible microwaves. But if you have the right tools, you can hear it hum." She reached out a hand, then pulled it back quickly. "Does it hurt to hold?"
"No," Relic said, the glow softening. "It feels like a blanket that has been sitting in the sun on a summer afternoon." The heavy oak door creaked open, and Headmaster Nova stepped into the chamber, his silver embroidered coat sweeping against the stone. Nova was a tall man who always smelled of old paper and brass polish. "Relic," Nova said, his voice deep and formal. "The students are studying the formation of the first galaxies today. They understand gravity, but they do not understand the background. Will you teach them? Relic looked down at the ancient warmth, which pulsed with a faint, sleepy amber. They prefer the bright things, Nova. My light does not paint pictures on their bedroom walls. But it paints the picture of the beginning, Nova insisted, stepping closer. They need to see the canvas before they can understand the paint. Relic nodded slowly, the movement so quiet it barely stirred the dust. Bring them down, but they must be quiet, because the oldest light does not like to shout. The next morning, 20 students crowded into the stone chamber, their brass notebooks clinking and their boots scraping against the floor. They nudged each other in the dimness, whispering about the giant telescope upstairs. It's just a dark room, whispered a tall boy named Leo, who wore his collar turned up to look older. I thought we were going to see the plasma engines. Shh, Maeve hissed from the front row, glaring at him. You have to listen. Relic stood in the center of the room, looking very small and very faint under the glare of the students' hand lanterns. Turn off the lanterns, please, Relic said, the soft voice carrying easily in the quiet room. One by one, the clicks of the switches echoed against the stone walls, until the room was plunged into complete darkness. Soon, the only light came from Relic's arms, a pale, quiet amber that did not even reach the ceiling.
To find the oldest light, Relic told them, do not look at any one thing. If you look at a star, you are looking at the present. Look instead at the empty dark between the stars. But there's nothing there, Leo said, squinting into the blackness. There is everything there, Relic corrected gently. The empty space is filled with a faint, even warmth that is the same in every direction. It does not blaze, and it does not fade. A girl in the back raised her hand, her silver bracelet clinking. How does a cold glow tell us about the beginning? Because it is a map, Relic said. When we measure this warmth very carefully, we find tiny ripples in it. Some parts are a tiny fraction of a degree warmer than others. Why? Maeve asked, leaning forward. Those warmer spots were the first lumps, Relic explained. They were the places where matter was just a little bit thicker. Over billions of years, gravity pulled more stuff into those lumps until they became the first galaxies. If the early universe had been perfectly smooth, nothing would have ever grown. The room went entirely still as the students looked at the empty air, trying to imagine the ancient map surrounding them. It is like the universe kept a photo of its own first day, Maeve whispered, her voice full of wonder. It did, Relic said, and that photo is still arriving, from every direction at once. We only had to learn how to look. After the students filed out of the room, the chamber returned to its deep, silent rhythm. Relic settled back onto the stone floor, cradling the ancient warmth as the dust motes drifted lazily through the dim air. For a very long time, a soft loneliness had lived inside the eldest creature. The other forces in the observatory were so spectacular, always drawing the eyes of the young stargazers. Tide was constantly moving, stretching the very edges of the sky with a wild, invisible strength that made the telescopes tremble. Dust was busy building worlds, spinning massive gray clouds into rocky planets and heavy iron cores that would someday support life. Tide drifted into the quiet chamber now, bringing a cool draft that smelled of open space and distant horizons. Tide did not have a solid shape, but the air always felt wider and more mysterious whenever Tide was near.
They listened to you today, Tide murmured, the deep voice sounding like water rushing through a dark canyon. A few of them did, Relic said, looking down at the pale amber glow. The boy with the high collar wanted to see the loud engines. He will learn, Tide said, expanding slightly. He cannot run his engines without the space I make for him, and I cannot make space without the beginning you carry. A small, playful swirl of gray particles drifted in from the hallway, settling gently on Relic's shoulder. It was dust, smelling of cold iron and old stone. The young stars are being loud again, Dust whispered, her voice dry and raspy. They think they made themselves, forgetting that I had to gather in your cool spots before they could even burn. Relic smiled, petting the small gray cloud with a glowing finger. They are young, Dust. It is their job to burn. But they should respect their elders, Dust grumbled, swirling down to settle on the stone floor. Tide gave a low, rolling laugh that made the brass instruments on the shelves hum. Let them burn. They will run out of fuel eventually, but your light, Relic, will still be traveling through the dark. The two visitors stayed for a long time, sharing the quiet darkness of the sub-basement. When they finally drifted away, the chamber felt even more peaceful than it had before. Relic looked down at the pale warmth in both arms, and the loneliness that had rested in the creature's core began to melt away. Being faint was not the same as being unimportant. Being old was not the same as being forgotten. The quietest glow in the universe carried the most precious thing of all, the blueprint of everything that would ever exist. The bright young stars owed their very lives to the ancient cooling that had set Relic's light free. Without that quiet clearing, there would be no planets, no telescopes, and no young stargazers asking questions in the dark. A profound, peaceful gladness settled over the eldest creature, as soft and steady as the Relic radiation itself. Relic pulled the warmth a little closer, content to keep sending the beginning out across the sky, forever arriving.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Relic. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.